Hey everybody, Shai here. I'm speaking to you not from the WHYY studios as I normally do, but from my home office. Because like a lot of you, I'm working from home now that the threat of coronavirus has grown. And like you, I'm learning new routines, workarounds, and rhythms to this new reality we find ourselves in. We wanted to hear how you're coping, and today we're bringing you the voices of people in the area as we all find our way through this thing. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. This is The Why. Gracie Hoffman appears to be a healthy 26-year-old woman, one of the least likely people to suffer badly from coronavirus. But she's more vulnerable than she appears. And she feels that a lot of people her age aren't taking the virus as seriously as they should be.
My name is Gracie Hoffman, and I am living in University City around Drexel and Penn.
How have you been coping with the situation around coronavirus?
So I am 26 years old, so I'm relatively young, but I have chronic respiratory disease. I have asthma, as well as an autoimmune disorder, colitis. So last year, I actually was in the hospital for 4 days with pneumonia on an immunosuppressive drug for my colitis called Humira, which really did a number on my immune system, and I was very sick. So when things started evolving about this disease and they were saying how COVID-19 is so similar to pneumonia and how it disproportionately affects people who have compromised immune systems, such as myself, and that I, in fact, would be more likely to have complicated disease and even a higher mortality rate. Pretty terrifying.
Sure is, yeah. Do you think that you were sort of, because of your specific health conditions, were sort of taking this a little bit more seriously than people you knew, or were taking slightly more drastic measures?
Oh, absolutely. I work in the theater community. I am a communications director for a musical theater company called 11th Hour. And I was kind of watching my news feed as people were like, I don't know, should we close the shows? Like, what are we going to do? And it was really the moment when Broadway announced that they were going dark that I was like, oh no, this is like, people are really getting it now. Whereas before that, like my friends were trying to schedule brunch with me. And we're like, hey, do you want to go out for drinks? And I was like, no. And I was like, I'm going to quarantine myself for COVID. And they're like, oh yeah, that's fair because like, you know, your health is. And I'm like, I feel like it's going to come to a point where everybody's going to need to do that.
Yeah. Do you think that people are taking this seriously enough?
I think it depends who you talk to. The thing that I think people are not taking seriously enough is this idea that like, oh, okay, well, if I get it, it's not that bad. And they're not thinking outside of themselves and like, oh, well, I'll get better in a few days, but what about, you know, me? There's a lot more people like me than you think. You know, people look at me and they're like, oh, she's a 20-something, like whatever, I could be around her if I think I have a cough. But I could get really sick and it would be really messed up. And even like my boss, he has a child with leukemia. Like there's a lot of people connected to immunocompromised people who will be in big trouble. And I think people are kind of just thinking internally. So they're like, well, I'm just going to live my life and give me the virus already. And people are kind of making jokes about it. So people were like, whatever, it's Corona Day. Let's go get coronas.
What's your sort of like long-term plan? Are you at the point where you're doing any sort of like long-term food preparedness or, you know, sort of things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yesterday, I was afraid to go to the grocery store, but I used Instacart. So I ordered just so much food. I was like, we're going to get cans of tuna and frozen things and like as many crunchy snacks as I can think of. And then I'm sending my partner to the liquor store. I was like, hey, if you feel like it's okay, I think we might need some wine. But I did ask him, I was like, I had to stop myself from like bleach wiping down the chip bags we got. And he was like, I think you're okay. And I was like, but I read about the grocery stores and how if people touch it and then they put it back down. But we have a stationary bike. We've got food. We have lots of board games, and I'm catching up on some Disney Plus movies that I had been meaning to watch.
Well, Gracie, I appreciate you speaking with me. I you know, stay well and you know, sane as you remain indoors. Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course, and same to you and your family.
Thank you. I talked with my friend and colleague Jen Kinney, a regular contributor to the show. Jen was recently quarantined at home because she was feeling sick.
I had a mild fever. I was coughing. And, you know, I think it probably is just a seasonal cold or something like that.
She's feeling better now, but her experience points to what many consider the United States' biggest failure in responding to coronavirus, the lack of testing.
So I called my primary care doctor, and she said, just to be safe, go to urgent care. So I went yesterday to Penn Urgent Care in South Philly, and I gotta say, it was like pretty orderly. I was expecting it to be really overwhelming.
Did they have tests?
Seems like they did, but they were only giving them to people with really acute symptoms. So as people came in, the receptionist would ask them for their symptoms, and then depending on what they said, she would give them a mask. But it was a 3-hour wait to see a doctor.
Wow.
They only had 2 doctors. And by the time, you know, I got called in after, you know, a solid 3 hours. And the nurse and the doctor, you know, they were really nice and telling me, you know, yeah, it's possible that I've been exposed to it. But because I am clearly pretty healthy right now, you know, I'm past the worst of it.
Yeah.
They would not give me a test.
Did that surprise you that they didn't want to give you a test?
I mean, I knew that there were shortages, and so part of me was kind of expecting that, but I think it's really counterintuitive in a way, like to only give tests to the sickest people. You can imagine, like, if you're not testing people who have mild symptoms and then they're saying, well, I guess I don't have it, and they're still walking around, that doesn't really help stop the spread.
So you've been home since that urgent care visit?
Yeah, I've been kind of staying home almost all of this week to begin with.
And you haven't left, so you're literally, like, not in contact with anyone.
Well, I have 2 roommates,
mm-hmm.
One of whom is starting to feel a little bit sick. We're trying to keep up certain precautions, but it's hard to know which ones we are realistic within a household. So we're Cloroxing everything, but
yeah,
not clear how much we can really keep each other from getting sick.
And nobody is encouraging your roommate to get tested at this point either.
Well, if I had gotten tested, I would have thought maybe it would make sense for him to get tested. Like, if I had gotten tested, then there would be now reason for me to contact people that I know and tell them, hey, you should probably get tested, and we could probably see if anyone had contracted a more serious version of the disease from coming in contact with me. But since we don't know if I have it, like, none of that gets triggered.
How, other than Cloroxing your home, are you just spending your time?
Yesterday, I did what was probably the best thing I've done all week, which was I turned off my phone.
Ooh.
Yeah, and it felt great. I'm working from home. It's easy for me to do that. So I'm keeping up with work. I'm reading. I cleaned my house a lot yesterday.
What's your biggest concern at the moment about the situation generally?
I'm mostly just concerned about this lack of testing and lack of clear guidelines for people. With testing, you can make a clearer case to people that it's spreading and that if they're feeling unwell, they should stay home. And without it, I'm worried that people won't take precautions and it'll spread even more than it already has. I'm also just kind of worried about panic and fear. It seems like it's really hard to assess risk and nobody really knows what's going to happen. And so it's, you know, everyone that I've talked to the past couple of days, this is all anyone's talking about. And it's hard to think about anything else. It's hard to just go about our daily lives. And I don't know that that's very good for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, stay well, Jen. I hope you continue to feel better. And I hope your roommates do as well. And just be well.
Yeah, thanks, Chai.
When we come back, if your kids are home for an extended period of time, what would that look like at this point?
Sure. Well, I think it's going to be ugly.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. Like a lot of you parents out there, this is what my house sounds like right now. Brandon Campbell is just one parent struggling to figure out what to do with her two young kids while also trying to get some work done.
My name is Brandon Campbell, and I live in Chester Springs in Chester, County.
How have you been coping with the coronavirus situation generally?
As well as I can. There is a lot to think about and try to plan for in uncertain circumstances, obviously. I run my own business. I have a communications company, so that is stressful on its own. And having my kids home, I have a 6-year-old son and a 2-year-old daughter, has made trying to plan out when I'll actually be able to work a little bit challenging. So I know that's being faced by all kinds of people across the country and the world.
What sort of makes you the most anxious about the situation as it stands right now?
I think the school closing makes me most anxious because it's such a big thing in my life. It's a big contingency to try to plan for. And I keep thinking about it, and I just don't think that there's any really good solution because you're going to have thousands of parents in literally the same situation. And my kids are so young that, you know, I'm not
going to be very, you need to be very hands-on with them at this point.
Exactly. So that's the one thing that makes me the most anxious.
And so it sounds like you're just starting to think about if your kids are home for an extended period of time, what would that, you know, long-term, you know, planning for what you do in terms of work and with your kids every day is still, you're still formulating. What do you think that's going to look like at this point?
Sure. Well, I think it's going to be ugly. What I'm thinking is I live in a development. There's a Facebook group for our community. Putting a post on there, knowing that there are a lot of people that will be in this situation, and just saying, hey, is anyone interested in doing some sort of child care share? You know, I can have the kids here for the morning, and then you guys can get some work done, and then you take them in the afternoon, something like that. If I can try to get in, my goal is if I can figure out how to put together 3 hours of work each day, I will consider that a win. Obviously, I have a ton more work than that, but I'm trying to be realistic in my expectations. My 2-year-old loves TV, so I can put a movie on and know I can get probably close to an hour with her. My older child, my son, is just, it's super active. He doesn't sit long TV. So that's actually going to be my bigger challenge, my older child. So that I haven't quite figured out yet. But I think if we can, you know, using, we're all kind of going to be in a pickle. If we can kind of pool our resources and try to make some space as we can, that's the best plan I've been able to come up with. And I've sent some texts to some parents that I know in the area to see if they would be interested in something like that, and I think I'm going to just make a larger act and see who can be helped, who might want to be involved, and see if we can get some sort of structure that way. What I really like is that even though we're talking about social isolation, and that's a really critical component of how to deal with this, I am really loving this. There's a sense of community even in that that you don't always see that I think is really beautiful. I just saw a neighbor post in that Facebook group I mentioned for my development saying if you have elderly people in your lives who need some help getting to the store, I will do that for them. As a business owner, I have seen so many colleagues, I mean, we're in, literally in this together, it's unprecedented, just come together with some ideas, sharing tips they found that have been helpful. So it's a really stressful moment, but in it, there are a lot of glimpses of just how beautiful human nature can be and is, and how we can make community really out of any circumstance.
Brandon, thank you so much for taking some time to speak with me.
You're welcome. Thanks so much. Good luck to you guys.
We know everyone is struggling to deal with this situation in their own way. If you have a story you want to tell us, find me on Twitter, @ShaiBenYaakov. The Why is produced by Annette John Hall, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, with editorial direction from Katie Culinary. Our intern is Kelly Brennan. I'm Shai Benyakov. Stay safe, and we'll see you tomorrow.